The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "No one has gone up to heaven except the one who came down from heaven, the Son of Man who is in heaven. And the Son of Man must be lifted up, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. Yes, God loved the world so much that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not be lost, but may have eternal life. For God sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world, but so that through him the world might be saved." The Gospel of the Lord. A week ago last Friday, I watched the 6 o'clock news. That's rare. Usually wait till 10 o'clock, so the television goes on at 5 to 10 and goes off at 5:30. But that news, it was so full of suffering and evil, because it was just a day or two after the second journalist had been beheaded in Iraq. And of course, we hear overnight that the English lad has been beheaded too. The same news, the poor Italian lady beheaded in North London, that were in streets adjoining the parish that I went to 40 years ago next month. There was a reference during the news to a few years ago they spoke of a new world order, and how in a few years it's turned into a year of disorder. A new disorder in the world. Headlines spoke of Pope Francis as a possible terrorist target by ISIS, because they said he's the greatest exponent of the Christian religion and a bearer of false truth, i.e. our faith, and so therefore a fitting target. And some of the Muslim leaders have spoken of conquering Rome and own the world, others the first step to conquer Constantinople, Istanbul, and then on to Rome. And then there was a headline that said that it's British women that run ISIS Sharia police. And one, a Muslim woman convert from Kent, age 45, wrote this on Twitter: "You Christians all need beheading with a nice blunt knife and stuck on the railings of Raqqa. Come here, and I'll do it for you." Well, having watched all that, or just read it, some of it was in the paper, some of it was what was on the news, I was about to do last Sunday's homily. And then I noticed that on BBC Four, there was a prom concert, which was Beethoven's Mr. Solemnis. And I thought, I'm going to listen to that. It's a work I know well, sang it when I was a student in St. Paul's Cathedral with a huge choir and orchestra, and it was quite the right thing to do because of this. The Mass, any setting of the Mass, is the ordinary of the Mass. The bits we sing, the Kyrie, the Gloria, the Credo, Sanctus Benedictus, Agnus Dei. And Beethoven completed his great Mass just after the Napoleonic Wars that had devastated Europe in 1818. That's when he wrote it. And they write that it outgrew all bounds and turned into a gigantic work and a gigantic testimonial to his faith. And over the opening movement, which is the Kyrie, he wrote, "From the heart, may it reach the heart." And to the heart, it certainly does go. Obviously, I know not all of you know it, not of you would want to. But on the other hand, it's a great work. And the first opening movement, the Kyrie, has only got three words. It's Kyrie, Christe, Eleison. And it lasts for 10 minutes. And of course, it's what he does with the words that matters. And that Kyrie is a great statement. Lord, Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Almost that cry from the heart. And I thought of all those people suffering, our fellow Christians, other religions, but everywhere, suffering so much more. That crying to the Lord, Lord, have mercy. Let's say that last 10 minutes. Then the Gloria, and the Gloria is an absolute burst of great praise at the start, but as you know, the middle of the Gloria changes mood. Lord Jesus Christ, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, you take away the sins of the world. It goes back to that. So in our euphoria, and often say to children at school mass, once we've had our sins forgiven, we can get on and give glory to God. And we can. Not every day is the news as bad as it was that particular day, but it can be. But nevertheless, and we know in the midst of life, there's that cry for mercy, but also glory and praise to the Lord. But then it still, as I say, changes that mood, because the need for crying and pleading and mercy is never far away. Beethoven wrote the thing in D major, but the credo, which is a strong believe, believe, believe. Remember, you see, that Islam says we're infidels. We don't believe. We do believe, and we say it week by week, credo, I believe, whichever version it is. But it begins in a different key. Again, it's another statement Beethoven's making. This is strong, but it's in a totally different key. And then in the middle of it, it very subtly, beautifully changes into the home key of D. And he's saying, this great moment is going back to where we started from, and it's at the words. And Jesus, et incarnatus est, the word became man. Jesus became incarnate for us and was made man. Jesus, the Son of God. That they recognize as a prophet, but not one who died on the cross. That's why it's important to grasp today some of what we actually proclaim every time we're at Mass. The next great piece is the Sanctus, the Benedictus. That lasts for about 16 minutes and starts very quietly. Holy, holy, holy. Sometimes we sort of do a burst of praise, but this is a gentle, but leading up to, because it's in the holiness of God we need to contemplate. And then it builds up to the heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. And then there's a very long, reflective piece, sometimes just with the orchestra, solo violin, and then gradually the voices come in. Blessed is he who comes. Who comes? Jesus comes. Jesus comes in the name of the Lord. And what Beethoven's trying to say is, in the midst of all that turmoil in life, Jesus comes. Peace in the midst of life. And we need that sense of peace at some time during probably each day. It was always brought up that every Mass should have a moment of repose, a quiet, a pause to reflect in the midst of the turmoil of life, that peace. And then the last movement, of course, Lamb of God, Agnus Dei. And in that he has some trumpets because he's remembering because he lived in Vienna, of course, the Congress of Vienna, 1815, but Vienna was conquered, of course, before that, and remembering the trumpet call of the battlefield, which is Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, the sin of the world, the trumpet call there, but the strongest ending of all, Dona nobis pacem, grant us peace, grant us peace. That's the whole thing, coming together. I say all that because, in a sense, it's unparalleled among Beethoven's music. Its power, its great soaring architecture, its moving detail, its overpowering air of sincerity, all combined to make it, with his Ninth Symphony that we know so well, the Choral Symphony, the crown of his music. But what he was setting was the Mass. And that was what was being broadcast around the world on that particular day. So people hearing the Mass, whether they're taking in all the implications, because it's what he does with the words, you see, and bringing it to concentrating on the belief in Jesus, what he did for us, the glory of God. And one of the music critics, Paul Becker, a great German critic of the 20th century, wrote this: "As surely as the Mass is the most exalted memorial of perfected understanding between man and God, so surely does this understanding rest on the right Christian philosophy of life and truth." Remember that Saint Francis, great exponent of the Christian faith, is a purveyor of false truth. We know the truth is in Jesus. All that is the Mass, as I say, being broadcast around the world. And it's what we sing and what we do every week, every day, parts of it. It's good we reflect on that, because you see, it's utterly relevant to life. Lots of people say, oh, what you Catholics do, it's not relevant to life, and it's not lively enough, or it's not this. It's actually what Jesus did. It's what he left us. And it's Jesus that's the center, the heart of our faith. One of the headlines, again, on the front of the Catholic Herald this week was an Iraqi woman Christian who had a knife held to her throat, and either convert or die. And she said, I've been a Christian all my life. I think she was quite old. And I'm going to die one too. But they didn't actually kill her. But they whipped a lot of the old ladies in front of each other. We've got to realize this is what's going on. But the Lord, that's what happened. Why are we surprised when it happens? So your newsletter says we should repeat the antiphon of this morning on the newsletter. We should glory in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, for he is our life and our salvation and our resurrection. Through him we are saved and made free. But I just want to end with a quote from St. Bernard, because this was on last Monday's reading. And he said, we are troubled when we contemplate ourselves and our sorrow brings salvation. When we contemplate God, we are restored so that we receive consolation from the joy of the Holy Spirit. From the contemplation of ourselves, we gain fear and humility. But from the contemplation of God, hope and love. And that's why I listen to that on that Friday night. And we know it all, but it brings home the truth. God loved the world so much that he gave his Son. Jesus is the answer.